Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Don't you worry, child. B. Mitchell Finley, high noon in the District of Columbia. As this Navy game's about to kick off, just wanted to shout out our boy Pete Medhurst. Thinking of you, bud.
Yep,
definitely. I'm sure you're watching the mids and fired up for it. Go midshipmen, all right? That's how we operate here. Go Navy. B, we got our captains for Sunday. The commanders like to announce the captains week after week after week.
Yes, we posted that.
Jaden Daniels, Nick Ballore, and Frankie Louvu. Mm-hmm. All well-deserving.
Yeah.
I'm curious, B, what do you make of doing the captains week by week like they do it?
Cool.
Were you ever on a team that did that?
Yes. Like, most of the teams, early on, that's what they did. Every week, the captains were made based off of what you either did in the game before or that week of practice. What Andy Reid did, he would pick, I think it was three or two, per group, offense, defense, special teams, and then he'll pick a person each group for the game, the actual game. So, like myself, Troy Vincent, Deuce, Donovan, David Akers, and Hugh Douglas were the captains, and then they'll pick somebody else for that week.
Okay, that's cool. I think the captain stuff in pro football is a little overblown anyway. Like, you don't make it to that level. Dan Quinn had an awesome quote earlier this week when he was asked if he needs his veteran players to really zero in on this game and be leaders. He's like, no. At this point, the veterans can be leaders, but some of the rookies are leaders too. Like, Mikey Samerstil is a leader because he just has it naturally. And we're not asking anybody to be something they're not. We're not asking anybody to speak. Like, at this point, you got to let your team grow to a point where they can just go out and be themselves and try to kick somebody's ass.
Totally. And I think the ultimate thing is we sit here and we always want to say who the captains are. A lot of us on the outside. But you never know who is that motivator inside that locker room. We learned early about Mikey. We see him drafted, and the players start letting us know about Mikey. Then you pay attention to him, and you say, oh, okay, I see what's going on. As I've said before, you don't have to be a certain age to be a captain. It just have to be who you are, And a leader is a person that the people are, they're going to see somebody giving their all the time. They'll start to follow you. That's how you become a leader, not because of what you say and what you think. It's about what you do on a consistent basis.
So, speaking of a consistent basis, we just got this quote from Michael Penix out of Atlanta. I really like Penix. I loved watching him play at Washington. I hope he's bad this week, but in general, that's a young man I'm rooting for.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm not going to lie, I'm going to be nervous running out of that tunnel. But whenever I get on the field, it's a whole different mentality, a flip switch. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, that's how it should be. I was nervous in every football game I played, from the first one I played when I was a little league guy to the last one I played in the NFL. But once that ball is kicked off and you touch it, that nervousness goes.
Well, dude, it was one of the things I always applauded about Jaden is I just feel like Jaden was always honest, and he's like, yeah, man, I get nervous before every game. I get butterflies in my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things that always stood out to me with Caleb. How he's like, nah, I haven't been nervous since eighth grade. And maybe that's real and that's just who he is. But, like, it's normal to kind of have some anxious moments before a big thing in your life.
Bro, Ali mentioned he had gotten nervous. Patti LaBelle says she got nervous. If those two people were nervous, why the hell would nobody else be? You can lie to yourself and say you're not. But you drop back and you throw that first incomplete pass. Has something to do with a little nervousness. Or you sell a ball sometimes. Something to do with nervousness. But it's okay. But the thing of it, we as a society make natural thoughts and natural feelings become something negative. If you're nervous, you're nervous. Cool.
Yeah.
And then it's over with. I told you this. Like I was nervous till I caught the first punt. They kick off the ball. I catch it. I may go to the house. But I'm still nervous I haven't caught the first punt because every punt is different. Kickoffs are all the same. You don't even much worry about that. But that damn punt would make you change your mind.
I bet, man. So going into this game, trying to do some predictions here, right? It sounds like Dan Quinn's starting to talk now over in Ashburn. He says Arrow is trending up for John Allen being able to play. Allen told me yesterday, I'm expecting to, but I'll be ready whenever I go. Mm-hmm. Like, Allen doesn't want to say, yo, let me play, but it sure seems like Allen's going to play.
He might
play.
Not want to tell us that, but he probably told them that behind closed doors.
Right. It doesn't seem like Lattimore is going to play. And they're not going to give you an answer. Maybe it helps that you get a little bit more time, that it's a Sunday night game. Lattimore and De'Ami Brown, to me, as hamstring guys for speed guys, it just seems a little tricky. But you get Allen back could really help. B, we just had Amelia Draper give us the weather for Sunday night, mm-hmm. and the weather sounds like it's going to suck. At what point is that a factor? I mean, hell, we saw it in the Bears game last night. It was raining pretty hard most of that game.
You know when the weather becomes a factor? When you play in the bad weather and the other team playing in great weather. And that's not possible, right?
Right.
So it's not a fact. They're not going to make excuse. You can't make excuse. It's going to come to who adjusts the best and overcomes it.
Would you rather they be facing Kirk than Penix?
I'd rather them face whoever they're going to face, because if you're facing Kirk, he had more savvy, more experience, may still be able to do some things to you. You're playing Penix, who has a better arm, stronger arm, but he doesn't have all that experience. And I would hope that the experience of Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. comes out in their game plan against him.
I'm kind of with you. I think the way Kirk was playing was so bad, just that last 6 week stretch or whatever. I mean, for him to turn the ball over like that and just not be able to hit open guys is very contrary to kind of what he does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it would have been cool if Washington got a crack at that. But I really like who Penix can be over the course of time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not terrified of a rookie quarterback making his first ever road start in the rain in primetime. Like, I like to think that the Washington defense can get to Penix early often. They've proven to have some ability of pressuring the quarterback, and I think it's the time to go get him.
Yeah. Listen, man, I've always been the mindset, if you're going to become the best, you have to beat everybody. So I don't care if it's Penix or anybody else. And I'm sure that's the way that team feels. But get out on the field, make him be what you want him to be.
That's up to Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn speaking to the media now in Ashburn.
Our field goal, let's go answer. I like how defensive responded after a turnover. Let's go get the ball back. And so I felt that connection strong. There's a lot of stuff that we're digging in on. And really when we came back after the bye, as this is the start of the second half of things we want to improve, we're digging in hard. By no means are we where we want to be yet, but each week the emphasis for the game may be a little different, but our ability to level up and try to improve on some things, some of that's individually, you know, as a player's individual skill work. Some of it's as a collective unit, might be, you know, trying to take the ball away defensively. I thought the tackling, you know, defensively really improved. Obviously, the run game's not where I'd love it to be yet offensively. So those are things that you just, you keep attacking and you keep going after, and it gives you some emphasis for the week as well.
And then I know obviously your guys' focus is going to be on the Falcons no matter what happens, but how curious
there's a guy that's come to a lot of press conferences right there.
How curious are you going to be to the result of the Panthers-Buccaneers game?
Going into it, honestly, I'm not getting into the what-if stuff. There's so many things for us to improve on and get after it with, so I don't have my head in the sand about things, but I also know, like, our emphasis has got to be on these areas that we want to really dig in and go for, and that's really the standard that I'm going for.
Hey, Coach, so what have you seen so far from Nick Ballore? I know he was a free agent signing kind of later in camp, so what have you seen?
Yeah, and I didn't know Nick prior to him. I've coached against him, but Larry had worked with him before, and he was the one knocking on my door, hey, how about this guy? You know, and so getting him here, he made an impact almost immediately, and I said he had a good blend of like humor and toughness. So he has the experience and can keep it loose, but he also has a real toughness and development side to him. If you'd see him and Reeves, you know, talk to Jordan McGee, you know, on the sideline, look for this, this is going to happen. Those are the types of players that what I called a glue guy that is behind the scenes really dominating in his role. And so that's why I wanted to, you know, recognize him today for this game, because he really has brought a lot into him. He can really run. I love our cover groups, kickoff especially. But he in all day, man, like he's down for it. And I love the support that he gives to the other guys too.
And Coach, you got the game ball or ate one of the game balls on Sunday.
I did. It was very unexpected. I'm usually the one that has to do the talking afterwards. So I got tongue-tied. And I was certainly very appreciative of Adam and Terry to do that, because he said, wait a minute, and I wasn't ready for that.
You spent a handful of years in Atlanta. Is that something you're thinking about this week? Is it something extra motivating?
No, I've done the work on that before. I had a chance to coach against him when I was an assistant in Dallas. So honestly, just a lot of gratitude for Arthur, you know, took a chance onto me, but you know, nothing past that. It's just, let's absolutely go battle for it. But, yeah, no, nothing other than, you know, the gratitude for Arthur and give me a shot at it.
And then just back to Jonathan Allen, a couple months after we thought season was lost,
yeah,
you might have a chance to play.
Yeah.
Does that just say something maybe about the work that he put in to get himself back into playing shape after that? I mean, that's a serious injury.
Yes, and knowing that there would be markers that you have to hit along the way, and you guys know this, anytime there's a surgery, there's steps that you have to hit, you know, in a comeback. And so for him, boom, hit it. Wasn't even a question of it. And so you could tell, you know, the amount of work that he put in. That injury is a little bit frustrating because the first part is just the healing of it. You know, when you have a tendon injury, it's not, okay, start working it right away. There's a healing aspect. But then for him, just immediately, all right, now we're pressing, boom, and all the conditioning and all that. So, yeah, with a lot of regard for him of the work that he and the medical staff put in together to give him this shot. This would have been the first marker window. And so would even hit that to go. But then going through the practice and readiness to do it, it's hard to say that he hadn't hit all the marks leading up to it. And so we're going to meet up tonight. But he's really done a good job, you know, preparing himself to be ready to go.
Take three more.
Has he maintained his size and strength?
Yes. I know. That's what was so unusual, because I would have thought, you know, it would change. But then you just said, man, that guy's built different.
Hey, Coach.
Hi.
I talked to the players yesterday about the emotions that they had to get up last week for a big divisional game against the Philadelphia Eagles, and the emotions of what that took. And then coming into a game like the Atlanta, knowing what's at stake and everything, you know, how to get up again for a game like that. What is the message from you this week as far as making sure that they're at that same level?
Good news, Don, I would say, man, this has been a season of close games and really tight ones to go. And so our team, we've got a lot more under the hood. And to say everybody's up at the same, you know, level, that's for every single game, that's hard. But the people they do lean on are right there in the room with them. And so they're the ones that kind of give the uplifting, you know, for one another. And knowing that you're going to go work as hard as you can for the guy right next to you, it carries a little extra weight. And you're not just doing it, you know, just for yourself to get ready, but it's for the guy next to you and doing that. And I do love that about our team, you know, the way they support one another and push it for one another. And but we have been in a lot of close games. They've been battle hardened. Having the late bye, all of those things mattered as we're getting into the second half. But we do try to stay true to our process. So like Monday was the time to clear it out, you know, and then we, you know, reset the whole thing. Go ahead. You want to follow up, Donna?
Yes. And what have you seen from the players this week? Because I was just talking to the defensive players and the offensive players, basically the line players. They said that December ball is one in the trenches of the game. What have you seen there this week?
You know, we have talked about that a lot. As December and January, as the calendar turns, you know, the importance of that on the big guys on both sides of the line of scrimmage. And so we've really made a big push on that over the last few weeks. And so we're not where I think we're going to be, but those are the things that you dig in a lot of practice. You make special periods and emphasis for that, and we've done that.
The last two, John and Sam.
With the Falcons, the run game with Bijan, when we get outside, they seem to do a good job. The challenge for a linebacker to attack versus flow with that, how do you defend?
It takes a lot of trust because you really have to depend on your teammate doing his job of forcing it back inside. If you're uncertain, is he going to take care of the edge? So you're going to hear this term, setting the edge, because of their ability to bounce and cut back. And so if you get, you know, in between as a linebacker or a safety, those are the ones that they can make you pay. And their running backs are strong. They make good cuts. The line's, you know, experienced one to come back. So, you know, it's an important aspect of what we do.
Do you see benefits, physical or mental, in games or around the facility of having that late bye or being refresh maybe at a time and like later in the year when you wouldn't be otherwise?
Yeah, I would say coming back from it, you know, that you could see the team was, you know, like honestly just excited to be back together when we started our preparation for New Orleans. We're probably able to practice a little more full speed looks, you know, as the calendar has turned, because, you know, we've done a good job of, you know, being ready to do that. And so they're not long practices, but we're able to hit them at full speed. And I think that's an important piece to it, the timing, the accuracy of throwing, of catching, the routes. If you don't work at that skill full speed, those are things you could see decline. And so we try to make a big deal about working our fundamentals and our skills. If those can continue, even if just by a little bit, Sam, to improve and improve, then if you do that, collectively, everybody's skill gets better. And so we work really hard at that.
Good.
Good. All right. Good, sure.
Totally get. You're not thinking about anything other than your game.
B. Mitch and Finley, we are back. That was Dan Quinn, Commanders head coach, talking. Zero surprise that he is just super locked in on.
Oh, yeah. Ready to go.
I mean, that's just how that dude operates. Is all he's going to worry about is the Falcons game.
That's it.
And he's not incorrect for that. I understand there are other ways for them to get into the playoffs, but for the team, if I'm in charge, which I'm not, but if I was, it'd be all about Atlanta. And we're not worried about I do almost wonder if Tampa wins or if Tampa loses earlier and they're in, what kind of impact that makes. That'd be a good problem to have. When we come back, our boy Mike Beasley, MGM National Harbor, joins the program.